It's quite beautiful and quite lovely. After you spend some time with the gospel, that God gives you the perfect way of connecting everything. Yesterday, I had a unique joy. I fulfilled the last obligation of my old parish by celebrating a wedding. Now, this was a unique wedding. I was able to know the family of the bride, know her, at that point, fiancé, catechized her fiancé. He was brought into the church at Pentecost, and it was all crowned yesterday with their wedding. And if there's one word I could use to describe them, it would be vigilant. Their hearts were awakened, you know, they lived a life that you would commonly see in the world. But then radically, out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit entered into their hearts, convicted them, and they immediately turned about. Now, what does that have to do with us today? Well, the reality is that we are meant to be as vigilant. That's kind of the whole reason why we're here. We're not here again, as I've said before, for you to hear a random guy in funny clothes talk to you, to hear good music or anything like that. This is divine worship. But the reality is, and it's sad to say, both you and myself, you and I, were way too easily satisfied. Give me Netflix, give me Twitch, give me DoorDash, I'll be all good. But the reality is that we desire for so much more. You and I were meant to utterly, completely, and without reserve pour ourselves out in love. Why? Because the entirety of the Christian life is matrimonial and nuptial. It is a covenant of love made between the one triune God and us, unworthy though we may be. But with bonds of love, the Lord constantly calls us. So to understand the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, we need to go back a little bit. What is wisdom? Wisdom isn't just knowing a bunch of stuff. No, wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit, as enunciated in the book of Isaiah, and as explicated by St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, and all the other fathers of the church and saints. The gift of wisdom is the ability for us to look at things from God's perspective and see how we orient everything to achieve our deepest end and our final end, namely union with God. If we don't have that, we're not wise. It doesn't mean that we can't grow in wisdom. We always can. But if we have a wrong end, by definition, we're not wise. And therefore, the virtue that it fosters, because that's what the gifts of the Holy Spirit do, they foster a virtue or a couple. This one fosters charity, friendship, deep abiding love with God himself through Christ. And here's the kicker. If we are too easily satisfied, we are not wise, because we put our end in something else other than God. And you and I both know this, we experience this. The crushing desire of our hearts, the endless void that we have that no one or nothing can seem to fill. Well, guess what? It's there for a reason, because it's meant to be filled with the eternal, ineffable, and without reserve, infinite love that is the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That quote-unquote God-shaped hole in our heart, yeah, it's real. And if we try to put that love upon anything else, it by definition crushes it, because a finite thing cannot fill the infinite. Knowing that, now we can understand the the parable of the five wise and the five foolish. You know, really, at the first outset of looking at this, it looks kind of weird. Like the five wise virgins are by definition selfish. Well, why won't you share your oil? That seems kind of reasonable. You know, you don't have to have all of your oil. Well, the reality is that this oil is not just oil. A few weeks ago, I told you to remember whenever you hear the grain, the wine, and the oil, it speaks of covenant. So whenever you hear this word oil, you're hearing them prepare for a covenant. And what are they headed towards? A marriage banquet, a covenant, where the bridegroom is long delayed. For what reason? To grow our love, because we love too little. So this set of virgins, knowing that they are going to be waiting, but they don't know how long, bring extra oil. The five foolish bring just enough, and not too much. Well, the bridegroom is long delayed. They're waiting and waiting. And at midnight, the cry arises when no one would expect it. The bridegroom is here. Come out to meet him. They trim their lamps. The foolish realize they don't have the oil. So what is this oil? This oil is devotion. This oil is love. This oil is virtue. This oil is the good works that have been prepared as a gift for the bridegroom. That is why they can't share it, because I can't transfer my devotion to you, my virtues to you, my attempts at holiness to you. I may be able to inspire it, but I cannot give you that, because my devotion is just that, it's mine. I can't ask a random person, the love you have for your spouse, give it to me. That's weird. Go up to a random person married 60 years. Give me the love you have for your wife. Probably be punched in the face. And so with this. The foolish virgins go and say, I don't have enough oil. Give us some of yours. Like, I can't. You have to go to the merchant and buy some. You actually have to put in the work to receive this oil, to grow in devotion, holiness, and love, and virtue. So they go off and do it. The bridegroom comes. The five wise go into the marriage banquet. The doors are shut and locked. And then you hear, probably in my opinion, the scariest line in all of Scripture. After they arrive and they find the doors locked, they knock. Lord, Lord, open to us. Amen, I say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. With that one line, he imposed the judgment of eternal damnation on the five foolish because they loved too little. You see, the reality is that they just did the bare minimum. Love is not satisfied with the bare minimum. Wives out there, your husband does the bare minimum. Are you happy? Sorry, husbands, but your wives are being silent for a reason. They don't want to have to go to confession. No, they're not happy. They yearn for more. Why? Because they yearn for the total gift of the heart of their husband. And the bare minimum says, I will tolerate you. I will not love you. Same with the foolish. I will do just enough. Because the reality is, I don't trust. I refuse to go the distance. So what does this have to do with us? Again, we love too little. You and me both. If you think I'm not preaching to myself, you're dead wrong. I love too little, you love too little. This is the time for that to end. St. Catherine of Siena once said, if we were who we were meant to be, the world would be set ablaze already by our love. And love is not a feeling, it's an action, it's a choice, which is one that says everything. Everything is sacrificed. Just how yesterday when I saw this young couple, younger than me, who in the eyes of the world appeared foolish, but in wisdom they ordered their lives entirely to the salvation of the other, willing to utterly pour themselves out in divine worship for the sake of the salvation of the other, to the point where they offered their vows while holding the relic of the cross, upon which our own Lord solidified his own matrimonial bond with us. So it comes to us today. Do we want to be wise or do we want to be foolish? Quite frankly, the fool would say, this matters not to me. The wise says, where do I need to repent? Because there is still oil in our hearts that can be pressed out, that can be offered, that can be grown. We're not 6 feet under yet. We got time, but it's got to start in the vulnerability of our hearts. It has to start, and it has to start now. It actually had to start about, I don't know, 10 years ago. It has to begin. And when that oil reaches completion and the covenant is established, instead of hearing, I do not know you, by means of our vigilance and our staying awake and our yearning and our thirsting, we will not hear, I do not know you, but well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Praised be Jesus Christ.